Hello, this is DJ Desert Rose, and welcome to my show, Drawing the Line, Real People, Real Advice. Listen in on Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m. only on radio.dominican.edu. I give advice on careers, relationships, friendships, and family. However, I do not give any legal or medical advice. If you have a legal issue, please contact a professional such as a lawyer, or if you need medical advice, or if you have a medical emergency, please contact your personal doctor or dial 911 immediately. And now we're going to take a quick break. This is Desert Rose, and you are listening to Drawing the Line, only on radio.dominican.edu. And we are back. This is Desert Rose, and you are listening to Drawing the Line, Real People, Real Advice. Listen in on Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m. only on radio.dominican.edu. I give advice on careers, relationships, friendships, and family. However, I do not give any legal or medical advice. If you have a legal issue, please contact a professional such as a lawyer, or if you need medical advice, or if you have a medical emergency, please contact your personal doctor or dial 911. So, for my first, segment, I'm going to talk about a subject that I have always found interesting: parent-child relationships. So, parents, I'm sure a lot of you have thought, dear Lord, my kid is driving me nuts. I mean, let's face it, being a parent isn't easy. Just ask mine. And kids, I bet you found yourselves wondering, just wishing your parents would back off and leave you alone, right? I mean, come on, what kid has not wished for their parents to just leave them alone? What kid has not just yelled out, darn it, Mom and Dad, you have no idea what you're talking about! I know exactly what I'm doing! Now, I'm not a parent, but I've seen enough and experienced enough to know what works, what does not work, and what'll get you to your death a lot faster. Just ask my mom whenever I backtalked her. First off, let's hear what the experts have to say about parent-child relationships, and today's topic, as well as one of my favorites, helicopter parenting. Now, this question is for all you college kids out there. How many times have you asked yourself, why can't my mom and dad just leave me alone? I know exactly what I need to do for school, and I don't need or want my parents constantly telling me what to do, how to do it, and I don't need them always checking up on me. Let's face it, a child's worst nightmare, mom or dad, or, hey, both, coming to school and bombarding them with questions like, what grade are you getting in such and such class? What is your homework level? Did you study for that test? And what's your teacher's name? I want to talk to them, right in front of their peers. I recently checked out an article from CNN.com, and it was titled How Helicopter Parents Can Ruin Their Kids' Job Prospects, where it talks about how overprotective parents can actually undermine their child's ability to think and do things for themselves. The article also mentions that while it is fine for a parent to help their child find a job, any contact with a possible employer needs to be done by the kid and not the parent. In fact, the article mentions one parent who actually called her kid's possible boss. And I just lost my place. Oh, here I am. Okay, sorry. Asking questions anywhere from where her child was going to sit, to what kind of questions would be on the interview, to what kind of responsibilities the kid would have. And you want to know the result of that? The employer withdrew the offer for mom's kid to have that job. In 2012, so we're backtracking a few years here. No, I'm taking you guys back in time. In 2012, another young woman who attended University of Cincinnati not only filed, but also won a civil stalking order. Now, who was the stalker? Not a creepy secret admirer, and certainly not a boyfriend who's so upset with the breakup that the poor lad just didn't want to let go. No, the stalkers were her parents. Yay! Anyway, the charges? Several uninvited get visits and cyber monitoring, among other complaints. The young woman described the situation as, and I quote, "It's just been really embarrassing and upsetting to have my parents come to my university when I'm a grown adult and just basically slander my name and follow me around." Actually, yeah, I would find that very embarrassing and upsetting. To which one of her parents, dear old mom, claimed that her daughter was overreacting and the only thing she and her husband were guilty of were being loving parents. Here's another question for you all. Actually, hold on a second, I need to cough. Okay, I'm back. Here's another question for you all. Just when does love and nurturing become a negative thing? If you say when a possible employer withdraws a job applicant, or when a child takes their parents to court, then I think you're right. A clinical psychologist by the name of Aaron Cooper also made a comment in the article stating that because young children gain so much from parents who are constantly around them, by the time that child has reached his or her teen years, the kid isn't too willing to ask mom and dad for space. The constant help, which the kid is more inclined to accept, becomes what Cooper calls a soft disability in their lives. And you can't see me right now, but I'm making quotations in the air. Another article I came across on this topic was from USA Today, titled "Online Grade Access Can Lead to Helicopter Parents." These days, many schools put grades and assignments online, which for a student can be a blessing or a curse. Why do you guys think I refuse to give my parents my password to my online grades and assignments? The article also mentions that both teachers and psychologists have said for parents to learn the balance of getting involved to just plain taking control of their child's academic life. Jennifer Shroff-Penley, who is the chief of the Division of Psychology at Nemours Alfred DuPont Hospital for Children in Wilmington, Delaware, says, and I quote, "It is important for children to have some ownership of their work and their grades. If parents become over-involved, children may take less responsibility themselves, may rely on others to manage their time, and thus not be as internally motivated to learn and work hard." Another interesting thing that Penley says is that if a child is doing well in school, then the parents should not worry too much. If the child is not doing too well, then while the parents should get a little more involved, that involvement needs to be a partnership. So in other words, you want to offer as much help and support to your child as you can without taking complete control. Some parents will even go bananas if they see a bad grade on a test, and then they come up and and then they come up with an overly rigorous study plan consisting of what the kid studies, how much they study, what sort of materials they need, and so on and so forth. Gee, I don't really see time to be a kid in that study plan, but anyway. Now, while it is disappointing for a parent to see their child come home with a failing grade, please also remind yourself that it is not the end of the world. Some teachers will even make mistakes and give a student the wrong grade, and that is something that can be easily corrected. Trust me on this. I've had it happen to me before. Thousands of students have happened to them before. All you do is talk to the teacher and tell them what happened. Like I said, easily fixable. So, another article that I found on this topic was from the IU Newsroom, IU standing for Indiana University, titled "Helicopter Parents Can Stir Up Anxiety and Depression." Indiana psychologist Chris Menno is a counselor of many students who have helicopter parents. Menno says that an over-involved parent can take a, quote, "serious toll on the psychological well-being of college students who have not begun to negotiate a balance between asking for consultation and independent decision-making." She also adds in that it simply amazes her just how dependent many college students have become. The article also gives traits of a helicopter parent. One of the traits is parents who rush to their children's aid at the first sign of a problem without giving their child any room to solve that problem on their own. Another trait is, and this is an interesting one, a cell phone acting like an umbilical cord, where a kid will call their parent 3 to 4 times a day and ask about decisions such as dropping a class. Personally, I think when you're at the college level, you should be old enough to make a decision about whether or not you should drop a class, but whatever. So the kid becomes so dependent on a parent, that on the parent, that this can actually lead to a lack of confidence in the value of the kid being able to achieve something on their own. Also, when parents don't allow their children the ability to solve an issue on their own, they have a tougher time problem solving in other situations. Menno says that, quote, when children aren't given the space to struggle through things on their own, they don't learn to problem solve very well. They don't learn to be confident in their own abilities, and it can affect their self-esteem. The other problem with never having to struggle is that you never experience failure and can develop an overwhelming fear of failure and of disappointing others. Both the low confidence and the fear of failure can lead to depression or anxiety. This actually reminds me, back when I was a lot younger, say like not even middle school age, but like elementary school age, every single one of my teachers told me and my classmates, failing is okay. It's okay to mess up every once in a while, because when you fail at something, you learned. When you fail at something, you learn more and more things, new things every single day. It's actually very interesting. I also came across another article on this topic from NBCNews.com titled Helping or Hovering, When Helicopter Parenting Backfires. Actually, I came to find the image of a young girl wearing a grad hat with the words, "Thanks, Mom," rather endearing. The article mentions a father of a University of Arizona student calling his son's teacher to badger the teacher over why his son got a C on an exam. Chris Segrin, a behavioral scientist who studies interpersonal relationships and mental health, said that somehow the student's father knew that grade should have been much higher. And while Dad only wanted what was best for his son, what he didn't seem to realize was that this little phone call actually left his son feeling both incapable and insecure. In fact, the kid actually came into his teacher's office and kept on apologizing. Now, I'm sorry, but that does seem pretty embarrassing for the poor kid. The article also mentions parents who helicopter in a different way besides academics. One family describes themselves as a very overprotective and overbearing. The mother of a 16-year-old girl says that she knows where her daughter is at every second of every day. It is also a rule in that household that mom and dad know every password their daughter keeps under the sun. Now, I'll admit that if my parents ever demanded that they knew every password to everything that I had, I probably wouldn't be a very happy camper. The article also mentions one scenario of where a young woman and her roommates had their house broken into and many things were taken. The landlord was called to discuss the issue, and that's when one of the roommate's mother flew in and demanded that action be taken. This caused the roommate to feel like their ability to handle the situation was completely squashed, and that they felt like they could have handled it perfectly on their own, and that her mother really did not need to intervene. I don't know about any of you, but as a 24-year-old woman, I myself would also feel pretty squashed if my parents ever did something like this. So that was what some of the experts were saying, and now I'd like to add my own two cents. Any parent wants to see their child succeed in life, but there also comes a time when that child needs to learn self-reliance. When a parent takes complete control over their child's academic life, then the child becomes too reliant on their parents. A parent's job is to not only give support, but to teach the value of independence as well. Now, this isn't to say that helicopter parents are horrible parents, because they aren't. The intentions are good, but the way they go about it is wrong. I personally believe that it is very important for a child to learn how to do things on their own. After all, mom and dad aren't going to be around forever. It's important for a child to think, I did that, rather than, what would mom and dad have me do? Now, I've run into some college kids who've said that they let their parents get way too involved just to get them to, and I quote, shut up. I remember hearing from one student, if I just do it exactly the way they want me to do it, and I mean exactly the way they want me to do it, then I avoid confrontation. Now, while it is perfectly natural for kids to want to do anything to get their parents to shut up and stop bugging them, isn't it important to let the kid tackle an issue on their own and add their own ideas and opinions? I also remember a scenario where a friend of mine's mom called her every 5 minutes, from 7:30 to 8 in the morning, to tell her the same thing over and over again. The result, two very frustrated and very tired young women. In fact, my friend actually started crying. Then again, actually, I still wonder to this day why my friend didn't just turn her phone off. After, like, the fourth call, that's what I would have done. So why am I mentioning this? Because there are times when parents with good intentions can seriously overdo it. Now, here's how I think the scenario should have gone down. The mother of my friend calls her daughter up and reminds her that she needs to fill out a form and wants her to call her early afternoon to let her know that it's been completed. My friend agrees, phone call ends, and we all get to go back to sleep. But unfortunately, that's not what happened. My friend's mother kept calling and calling just to remind her of the same thing over and over. That is definitely overkill. Mom, tell your daughter once. If you have to remind her a second time, then okay. However, if she ends up not doing what was asked of her, then sure, get on her case a little bit. And if she still does not do it, then stand back and let her deal with the consequences of not doing what she was supposed to do. And kids, let this be a lesson to you. Lesson to always turn your phone off before you go to bed. We're going to take a quick break. This is Desert Rose, and you are listening to Drawing the Line, only on radio.dominican.edu.
Jezebel's got a new dress on. She smiles when she gets a ring. Hey, she wants to run now. Sitting on a bus somewhere to Houston town. You don't have to worry, baby. Just as long as you want to try. No, I laugh when I cry. No tears in my eyes.
And we are back. This is Desert Rose, and you are listening to Drawing the Line. Real people, real advice. Listen in on Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m. Ow, hold on 1 second. Okay, back. Just kidding. Ha! Actually, I'm just going to do that over again. I love you guys. And we are back. This is Desert Rose, and you are listening to Drawing the Line, Real People, Real Advice. Listen in on Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m. only on radio.dominican.edu. I give advice on careers, relationships, friendships, and family. However, I do not give any legal or medical advice. If you have a legal issue, please contact a professional, such as a lawyer, or if you need medical advice, or if you have a medical emergency, please contact your personal doctor or dial 911. And now for my next segment, I'm going to talk about school and how it has greatly impacted the lives of so many students. I'm going to mention what is probably the most dreaded word known to a child. Homework. I used to hate homework, and I still do. Of course, now that I've gotten into Dominican University, I'm actually quite enjoying it a lot more. Okay, so anyway, back to the matter at hand. Why did I pick this topic? Not just because of my feelings towards homework, but the fact that there are actually a lot of articles on the subject matter. So, what are some teachers and other experts saying on the matter? I found an article titled, Study Finds Too Much Homework Bad for Students. No kidding. And it is on newsplex.com. According to a study done at the University of Virginia, more homework does not automatically mean it's a good idea. Well, I will say that homework is important as it does give us practice and help us as students learn a bit better what we learned in class. It's the constant hours and hours of busy work that serve no purpose other than to take up the huge amounts of our time. It's the busy work that doesn't do anything except hang around like a zit on a teenager's face. That is the kind of homework that drives every kid and every parent crazy. Want to know how many hours of homework I was doing when I was in middle school? Over 8 hours a night. Want to know what my weekends were like? Covered in homework. But enough about that, back to the article. Robert Tai, an associate professor with the Curry School of Education at UVA, mentions that while it is normal and fine for a teacher to assign homework, it is important for a teacher and his or her students to know what kind of homework is being assigned and how it will benefit the students. Another article I came across was on Yahoo, and it was called Why Homework is Often a Bad Idea for Students. According to the article, excessive amounts of homework can have the undesired effect on the student. They don't retain the information very well because the workload has left them mentally exhausted. Excessive amounts of homework could also lead to physical exhaustion as well. Just because a student spends hours and hours of studying a night, this does not automatically mean that he or she will score a high grade on a test. It really doesn't do the student any good if they're so mentally exhausted that they end up forgetting the material that they studied the night before. Another article I found on the issue, Homework Overload Gets an F from Experts. Hear that, homework? You guys get an F. Oh, yeah. Anyway, sorry. According to research done by Sydney University educational psychologist Richard Walker, who is also author of a book called Reforming Homework, Practices, Learning, and Policies, children who do more homework actually end up doing worse on standardized tests. According to Walker, homework only helps a student out during the last 3 years of high school. For younger kids, small assignments are only beneficial if the child is getting help at home, and sometimes that doesn't always happen. And high school students should be doing only a couple hours of homework a night. Tell that to my high school. Here's something interesting. According to Stanford University, Professor Denise Pope, students who consider themselves to be high achievers can end up suffering from poor mental and physical health. And findings also say that homework has very little to no value in lower school grades. And because of this study, many educators begin taking in the flaws of homework. Hallelujah! Now, homework only counts for 10 to... Now, homework only counts for 10 to 15% of a student's grade, and high schoolers are expected to do only 30 minutes of work a day. Some schools are assigning even less. Makes me want to be a kid again sometimes with less homework. I also came across another article on psychologytoday.com titled, How Much Homework is Too Much? The article was written by Guy Winch, PhD, and is a licensed psychologist and author of the book, The Squeaky Wheel, Complaining the Right Way to Get Results, Improve Your Relationships, and Enhance Self-Esteem. The article first starts off with a small passage from Winch's book, in which he interviews an 11-year-old boy named Timothy, whose mother had brought him into therapy to discuss why her son's grades were slipping. Timothy was in a very top-notch private school, where slipping grades were taken way more seriously. According to Timothy, he would be up by 6:30 every morning so he could be at school by 8. After arriving home at 4:30 every morning, he had a quick snack and then, depending on what day it was, a piano lesson or a math tutor. Dinner is at 7 p.m., and after that, Timothy spent 2 to 3 hours of homework a night. When Winch did the math, he calculated that Timothy spent, are you ready for this, on average, a total of 13 hours a day on anything academic. Did I mention that this kid was 11 years old? Timothy's academic life gives him barely any time for stuff that he wants to do, such as play video games, watch TV, or hang out with friends. And on the weekends, the boy's time is strictly devoted to studying for tests and working on school projects. Sadly, poor Timothy is not the only kid who experiences this. Also, according to the article, by the time kids reach 4th and 5th grade, homework starts to pile on. And while too much homework does not count as child abuse, that does not mean it can't be a little damaging. For instance, playing is a very important factor in a child's development. When a child plays, whether it's a fun game of house, a sport, or a board game with friends, this strengthens their creativity and their social skills. However, when a kid's time for playing is limited, it can lead to stress, anxiety, childhood obesity, low self-esteem, and depression because of the lack of physical activity that a child needs. While homework is important in the sense of going over what the child learned in school, too much homework can take away a kid's time from being, well, a kid. And now I'd like to say something on the matter. I've never been a fan of homework, and relax, this isn't me doing a rant on how homework is horrible. Homework is not completely horrible. I agree with when homework gives a kid a little extra practice for what they learned in class. But when a kid like Timothy is spending 13 hours on average on academic-related subjects, I would say that is way too much. While it is important for children to learn and grow, piling on assignment after assignment, project after project, and test after test is not a good thing. In fact, as an 11-year-old, poor Timothy should only be doing 50 minutes of homework a day rather than three times that amount. Actually, I remember a time back when I was in middle school. I think I was about 12 to 13 years old. And what happened was that a debate began as to whether recess should be canceled in order to have longer classes and give teachers more time to explain the material. Not surprisingly, I was highly against this. Studies show that it is very important for children to have 10 to 15 minute breaks in between study sessions because there is only so much the mind can retain. We are going to take a quick break. This is Desert Rose, and you are listening to Drawing the Line, only on radio.dominican.edu.
Could have lasted forever, I'd be with her today. If love could have lasted forever, I'd still hear her say, darling king. No!
Wait, is this thing on? And we are back. This is Desert Rose, and you are listening to Drawing the Line, Real People, Real Advice. Listen on Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m. Only on radio.dominican.edu. I give advice on careers, relationships, friendships, and family. However, I do not give any legal or medical advice. If you have a legal issue, please contact a professional, such as a lawyer. Or if you need medical advice, if you have a medical emergency, please contact your personal doctor or dial 911. Now, for my next segment, I'm going to talk about relationships. And I'm also going to include some personal examples in here. A popular question asked in this subject is, just what is true love exactly? What does true love mean? Perhaps there is no real answer. When you hear the word love, what comes to mind? Do you envision a road where both good and bad things happen, yet you see this as completely normal? Or do you envision a Disney scenario where the hero and heroine fall in love in just a matter of 5 minutes, and then a love song with an overly dramatic beginning and ending just pours out? I've never been a believer in love at first sight, but I strongly believe in lust at first sight, because for me, personally, I believe that love and lust are two totally different things, and they are, and here's why. I do not believe that meeting someone for just a few minutes is enough to tell you that you love that person. Perhaps you would love to hang out with them, or perhaps you would like to get a drink with them, but knowing for the first 5 minutes that you love them and want to be with them? Not very realistic. Actually, there is something that I'd like to talk about, marriage. Marriage is so much more than just a fun party filled with pretty dresses, delicious cakes, music, and dancing. It is a lifetime commitment to just one person. It is entering into a partnership both physically, emotionally, mentally, and financially. Studies show that the younger you get married, the more chance for a divorce because you are not mature enough to handle the commitment. Of course, this is not always true. I have an aunt who got married when she was like 21 or 22 years old, and she and her husband had a very happy marriage. So, why am I talking about marriage when I'm not even married? Oh, there's a reason for it. I'm a type of person who does not take the idea of marriage very lightly. And it is not something one should rush into. And I've seen plenty of situations where couples have rushed into marriage only to have it fail because they were not ready for that kind of commitment. I once had a friend, and I'm not going to say who she is, who got married in 2012. She and her fiance were constantly fighting and constantly put her down by saying stuff like, "Oh, you're really fat, and I don't want to be seen with you until you lose weight." It's pretty mean stuff to say to someone you supposedly love, right? She would drive him around everywhere, and the time it took when she drove him to work and back, 3 to 4 hours depending on the traffic. She cleaned his room for him and did his laundry, and as I watched all of this, I couldn't help but think that my friend was not being treated like a loving fiancé. Instead, I got the image of a mother doing everything for her spoiled, rotten attitude son. And although she complained more about him than ever actually focusing on the good, she still married him because she was so afraid of being alone. Now, I'm in no place to judge her or any other woman who has been in my friend's situation. However, I felt saddened at the depressing lifestyle she had chosen for herself, simply because I believe that she deserved much better. I've also answered a few questions on Q&A sites, and one question that really caught my attention was a woman claiming that she was about to get married in a few months, but didn't know if she even liked him or not. My answer, to put it simply, as I've said before, marriage should never be taken lightly. If you find yourself doing any of the following, 1, convincing yourself why you are getting married. 2, making up nice little scenarios for you and your wife or husband-to-be, scenarios that you know will never happen. 3, telling yourself that you do in fact love the person you are marrying, but deep down you know it's just a front to lessen the guilt you are feeling. If you catch yourself doing any of these things, then those are all red flags, and they're all screaming out, "No, stop, don't get married." When it comes to marriage, I'll tell you all what I'm ready for. I'm ready for the party aspect. The cake, the dress, the ring, I'm all for it. But the life that comes after all of that, not so much. And hey, at least I'm being honest with y'all. I say Marry the person because you know for a fact that you want to marry that person. It does no good to marry someone just because you feel like you have to, or if you think it'll help improve your image. We are going to take a quick break. This is Desert Rose, and you are listening to Drawing the Line, only on radio.dominican.edu.
And to show our appreciation, we're going to give you some... It much easier,
just a little bit easier.
Say you just could not live a negative way, if you know what I mean. Make way for the positive day, 'cause it's a new day, new time, and it's a a new day. You're picking up,
picking up.
Are you picking up now?
Picking up now.
Jah love, protect us. Did you hear? A Jah love, protect us. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Jah love, a Jah love.
And we are back. This is Desert Rose, and you are listening to Drawing the Line, Real People, Real Advice. Listen in on Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m. only on radio.dominican.edu. I give advice on careers, relationships, friendships, and family. However, I do not give any legal or medical advice. If you have a legal issue, please contact a professional, such as a lawyer, or if you need medical advice, or if you have a medical emergency, please contact your personal doctor or dial 911. Now, for this segment, I'm going to share with you all some of the advice I've given to people. I remember when one of my friends was having a very tough time in school because of a crumbling relationship with her boyfriend. When I say tough time, I mean failing grades and academic probation. When she got an academic probation a third time, I called her up and said that she needed to quit what she was doing. My friend constantly put the blame on her boyfriend for her being on academic probation. Want to know what I told her? I understand that, this is what I said. I understand that you are very frustrated with this relationship and that you don't see it going anywhere other than down the drain. However, what you need to keep in mind is this. Your boyfriend can send you as many texts, Facebook, voice, and email messages as he wants. He can also call you as many times as he wants. You, however, are the one who decides whether or not to open that email or whether or not to pick up that phone call. You need to try to help me understand how you can say that every time your boyfriend calls you or Facebooks you, it just puts unneeded stress on you, yet you keep answering him. Do you see that little button on the side of your phone? Yeah, sweetie, that's what we call an off button. Remember that you need to take responsibility for this as well. Yes, your boyfriend may be overdoing it, but you alone are responsible for what assignments need to be done, what tests need to be studied for, and what meetings you have to go to. Don't say that your boyfriend forced you to visit him, because nobody can force you to do anything. The guy wasn't holding a gun to your head, now was he? So, what happened? More phone calls of the same exact thing until I finally, sort of, snapped. I won't say what I really said due to the colorful language of the discussion back then, so here's a much cleaner version. Okay, for the last 6 months, you have called me to do nothing but complain about your boyfriend. In fact, I don't even remember hearing one good thing about him. So from now on, I don't want to hear anything about him unless it's a breakup or you've both worked something out. Now, when I said this, I wasn't trying to be mean or insensitive. I said this because I was so tired of hearing complaint after complaint, yet my friend not doing anything to help herself. In short, if you don't want to help yourself, then I cannot help you. Remember, help is only valuable if you want to help yourself. Which also reminds me when it comes to friendships. I have a friend who has a family member who is an alcoholic. My friend, along with his parents, has spent tons of money on getting her into rehab, but it failed every time. While the family member claimed that she wanted help, she was not accepting the help that she was being given. She did nothing to take action to better her life. When you're helping somebody who does not want to be helped, you're wasting your time. I would know. I've experienced this as well. Hundreds of dollars went into rehab and various treatments, and the results were less than nothing. This is not easy for me to say, but I'm going to say it. And if I offend anybody, please note that I am very sorry, but the tagline for this show is Real People, Real Advice. Sometimes in order for a person to learn from their mistakes and to realize that they have to stop messing up and get their life back together, you need to let that person hit rock bottom. While it may sound harsh and cruel to some people, sometimes letting a person lose practically everything is what wakes them up. Someone I used to know experienced this when they got a DUI. Now, I wasn't happy that they got a DUI because they should not have been driving drunk in the first place. However, I was glad that they learned a big lesson that night. I was especially glad when I found out that nobody got hurt, and I was also glad when I found out that he got pulled over before anything horribly life-changing could happen. Actually, I'd just like to put in a friendly reminder here. Please do not drink and drive. The consequences of this are not worth it at all. It is much better to call a parent or your local taxi service to get your home safely. And I'm going to take a quick break. My throat is really dry and I need to get some water, but this is Desert Rose, and you are listening to Drawing the Line, only on radio.dominican.edu.
Sister, then by the hand, lead her away from this foreign land, far away where we'll not laugh again. We are leaving, you know, it's a fair wind blowing warm out of the south on my shoulder. Guess I'll set a course and go. Thank you.
And we are back. This is Desert Rose, and you are listening to Drawing the Line, Real People, Real Advice. Listen in on Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m. only on radio.dominican.edu. I give advice on careers, relationships, friendships, and family. However, I do not give any legal or medical advice. If you have a legal issue, please contact a professional, such as a lawyer, or if you need medical advice. Or if you have a medical emergency, please contact your personal doctor or 911. I would also like to mention something else. This is basically some advice that I gave to a friend. So one of my friends had a crush on one of her guy friends, like, and I could tell that she really, really liked him. And I could tell that he really, really liked her too. However, they were both too afraid to admit their feelings for each other. And my friend would talk to me about this and she'd tell me, I don't know what to do. I really like him, but I don't know how I'm going to express my feelings for him, and this is really difficult. And I told her, you know what? I think you should just go ahead and tell him. And even if you have to, like, sing it in a song, she's a singer-songwriter, even if you have to sing it in a song or write it in a letter, you know, whatever way that you feel comfortable with telling him, just go ahead and do it. However, you know, I also had a lot of sympathy for her because I have been in her situation. You know, I know what it's like to really, really like someone and be so afraid to tell them of your true feelings. But the way I see it is this. What would you rather do? Would you rather tell the person you like them and get a straightforward answer? I mean, obviously, you're hoping for yes, but if you get a no, I don't like you in that way, I just want to be friends, it's going to hurt, but you get over it. So what would you rather do? Would you rather just admit to the person that you really like them in that way? Or would you... Or would you just want to keep it to yourself for practically the rest of your life and never know what could have been? I mean, even if it's a no, at least you'll have an answer. And actually, I'm going to take another quick break because I have to go get something. Be right back. And we're back. Sorry about that. I dropped something. And actually, I just remembered another question that I answered on a question and answer site. This girl of middle school age, I think she was about 11 or 12 years old, posted a question on this website saying that her friend was basically being really mean to her and saying really mean things about her, constantly starting rumors. This friend would do stuff like pull her hair, punch her, say like really nasty things about her friend. And this 11-year-old girl, the one that was being bullied, asked the question of, how do I get my friend to stop? Because I'm really upset and I don't know what to do. And I told her that these were two girls, by the way. Girls at that age are the worst. The absolute worst. Why? Because in middle school, that's when things like boys and makeup and music and who has the most friends and who wears the coolest clothes and who plays the most sports and who does this and who does that, that's when all those things matter to a kid. The real important things in life, they don't matter. Because what a peer says about you and how a peer judges you is very important to children of that age. So I ended up telling this girl, like I mentioned before, that girls in that age group are the worst. Girls can be so mean to each other. I also told her, you need to tell a teacher, but first, why don't you try talking to your friend, pull her aside and say, look, I know that you've been saying really mean and hurtful things about me, and I just want to let you know that I do not appreciate it. I have not done anything to you to deserve the treatment that you have given me, and it needs to stop. I would like you to put yourself, actually, this is something that I tell everybody to ask themselves. I would like you to put yourself in my shoes. Say that the tables were turned and I was bullying you. I was going out of my way to make the days that you have completely miserable. Say I was doing that. I know for a fact that you would not like it one bit. So what makes you think that I like it? And I actually end up getting 10 stars, the questions. Whenever we answer questions, some of it, sometimes it's voted as best answer. Mine was voted as best answer on that one. So yay. But I found out that the 11-year-old talked to her friend, and things actually started working out very well, which is actually very good. I'm actually a very firm believer in trying to talk to the person, you know, who's giving you problems, trying to talk to them first to see if you can work it out. And if that doesn't work, go to a teacher. Because like I said to this, I also said to this girl, your friend cannot and should not be bullying you like the way she is. So either talk to her yourself or get a teacher involved. Ooh, that was fun. Anyway, so we're about to wrap it up. We're coming to a close. Just want to say that I had a lot of fun doing this. Had a great time. First time doing this. And personally, I think I did awesome. And I just sneezed. So you have been listening to DJ Desert Rose. And this is Drawing the Line. Listen into my show Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m. I give advice on careers, love, friendship, and actually, you know what? I'm going to do that again. Hello. You have been listening to DJ Desert Rose, and this has been my show Drawing the Line. Real people, real advice. Listen on Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m. only on radio.dominican.edu. I give advice on careers, relationships, friendships, and family. However, once again, I do not give any legal or medical advice. If you have a legal issue, please contact a professional such as a lawyer. Or if you need medical advice or if you have a medical emergency, please contact your personal doctor or dial 911. And I hope you enjoyed my show. Once again, this is DJ Desert Rose, and you were listening to Drawing the Line, Real People, Real Advice. Listen in on Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m. only on radio.dominican.edu. Hope you guys have a great time. Yeah.